Welcome to the NFC. I'm Matt Bowen. I'm going to be joined here by Wes Bunting. A new podcast we're going to bring you called the Draft Countdown Podcast. And Wes and I are going to be breaking down prospects by position, by grades, by rounds. We'll even get into team needs as we get closer to the draft. But the first thing we're going to do today is talk about the quarterback position. Players are going through their pro days. They're being graded. We're trying to figure out where they fit in the mock drafts and which team is the best fit for them offensively as we move forward throughout the month of March and into April. I'm going to bring you in right now, Wes. Give me your top three quarterbacks. As you see it right now, you know, middle of March, who are your top three quarterbacks?
Well, number one guy is Christian Ponder, and I've taken some heat for that, but he's the one guy that I trust more than any of the other quarterbacks in the draft right now. Number two is Blaine Gabbert. I think physically he's as talented as any quarterback in the draft outside of Cam Newton. He can spin the football on all levels of the field, and I think he gives you that work rate Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday to develop into a solid, not great, but solid starting quarterback in the NFL. And then number three is Jake Locker. We've seen Locker a bunch of times at the Senior Bowl. He's inconsistent, but if you can get him in an offense like Mike Shanahan where he can boot action, get outside the pocket, high-low read, and have the game spoon-fed to him, physically, I think he will be able to handle it. And I think he's a guy that he'll work for you, unlike the guys like Ryan Mallett, Cam Newton. Those are guys I have more concerns about with from a work standpoint.
Yeah, I can't disagree with a lot of that, Wes. But let's start. Let's focus on Newton to start.
Okay.
Because I think that's the name everyone wants to hear about. You know, he's all over the board. I like him. You like him. We like the talent. We can agree that NFL coaches, NFL GMs, scouts, when you see this guy in a workout atmosphere, it's easy to, you know, be very attracted to him. He's 6'5", he's 250, he runs a sub 4, 640. He can make plays. You turn on the tape from Auburn, he can make plays. He was the best player in college football. Let's just get that out there. He's the best player in college football. But a different game on Sunday. It's a much different game. And I think just like Gabbert, I mean, you're talking about a guy that's going to need to learn to get ready for the NFL game. Start with that offense, Wes. Spread offense. Spread offenses. They're not going to see that in the NFL. Yes, they will see some more spread looks. The NFL adopted part of the game. You almost have to if you're a coach right now because that's what you're getting from college. There'll be empty sets. There'll be four and five wide receiver looks at times. We saw them in the Super Bowl with the Packers and the Steelers. But when it comes to making the proper reads, understanding defenses, like you said, spoon fit. Unfortunately, that's what it's going to be. And that's why it's so hard, Wes, to pin a team down. You know, in your latest mock, you have him going to Arizona. I did a top 10 mock last week. I am going to Cincinnati with the possibility that Carson Palmer might be back. But even in those two spots, you start thinking, well, how long is it going to take this guy to play?
Yeah, and I think the biggest thing, Bowen, wherever he does go, you're going to have to adjust that offense to him early. You can't just go, you know, open up the entire field and say, you know what, work your progressions from right to left or left to right, whatever it may be. Decipher the information that needs be and get the ball out on time. Yeah, he's never been asked to do that. And when I watch Cam Newton, and we talked about this, we love the guy's talent. He can make all the throws. He can create second lives for you, get outside the pocket, can create the big play with his legs or his arm. But I see a guy that he has the ability to take snaps from under center. You can see the natural bend when he's under center, but he's really raw with his footwork and his drop. Mm-hmm. And that's something that, you know, it can be coached, and physically he has the ability to develop in that area, become a more balanced passer. But I just worry, does he have the willingness to put the work in to get better? We talked about Tebow so much last year, Bowen. This was a guy you can get into camp and grind on day in and day out. He wants to work. I don't know if I feel the same way about Cam Newton. Actually, I'll tell you, I know I don't feel the same way about Cam Newton. That's why he's the number four quarterback on my board at this time, because of his willingness to be great.
Right. I mean, that's a big question. And you're also telling your locker when you draft this guy, if it's in the top 10, shoot, if it's a first-round quarterback, I don't care if it's top 10 or not, you draft a quarterback, that's your projected leader of your franchise for years to come. With the money invested in that position, you're telling veterans, this is a guy we're eventually going to roll with. How soon it'll be, I don't know. I agree with you. Just like, because I think different, a little different with Blaine Gabbert, but it's kind of the same situation. We're talking about football. We're talking about football, not leadership here. You're going to have to coach him too. footwork as well. These guys who live and die in the shotgun for 4 years, 3 years in college, their footwork's atrocious. It should be. They don't work on it.
Mm-hmm.
They don't work on it. They don't work on their reads. They throw a curl route. They see cover three. They know exactly where they're going with the football every time. Okay, you're not going to see that in the NFL. Not from NFL defenses. You see a lot of different looks, a lot of exotic fronts. It's a lot to decipher, a lot of information to learn. And yes, we can apply it to every rookie in the NFL, but sooner or later, rookies have to play. They have to become veterans. They have to develop into that talent. So I'm with you, man. I could say with Newton, talent-wise, God, man, I got to have this guy on my roster. Leadership-wise, I have no idea. I really don't. And can he play as a rookie? I highly doubt it.
Yeah, and when you talk about Blaine Gabbert, Cam Newton, coming from these spread offenses, just because they haven't been asked to, doesn't mean they can't. So the next thing you have to figure out is, do they want to, or do they have the willingness to want to be able to do something? And that's the biggest thing. Right. Cam Newton, he's never been asked to work at anything in his life. You know, it's all, I'm not saying that he's not a hard worker, but he's so physically gifted, he can get away with a lot more than me, you, any other player out there. Same with Blaine Gabbert. Now, when he's at a league where you have the best athletes in the world that you're competing against, and showing up on Saturday or Sunday isn't good enough. You got to put that work in Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, from the footwork, from being able to develop in the offense, from preparation, tape study. You know, are you going to be the first one and last one out? And it's more important at the quarterback position than any other position. That's why we talk so much about, you know, does he have the arm strength? Can he move around? Well, that's only half the grade when you're evaluating the quarterback. The other half is from the shoulders up. Do they want to be there, or can they learn? Can they decipher information? Can they make the proper reads? You know, that's why a guy like Drew Brees is successful in the NFL, and why a guy like Jamarcus Russell isn't.
Right. I agree. I definitely agree with you. The other thing is, the kind you bring up, they're the best players in the field. I've said that already. Cam Newton was the best football player in the NCAA this past year. Here's an example. Von Miller, Patrick Peterson, those are probably two of the best players, defensive players in college football. There's 11 of those guys on Sunday in the NFL. There are 11, all right? Patrick Peterson is great, but he's not better than the top cornerbacks in the NFL, than this top half cornerbacks in the NFL. He's got a lot of work to do. Von Miller, I'll tell you what, Dwight Freeney, that sucker can move now, all right? These defensive ends, they can run down Cam Newton. He was able to do that against Kentucky all he wanted, against Tennessee, even against Bama. But when it comes to the NFL, he's not going to be able to do that every time.
Yeah.
There's something to throw out there. Hey, let's move on to, you brought up two names I'm really intrigued by, because I think they're ideal fits. I'm going to throw these teams out in a second. As second-round picks, you brought up Christian Ponder from Florida State, Jake Locker from Washington. I don't think they're first-round grade right now at the quarterback position. Obviously, that could change when we get closer to the end of April. But two teams I'm going to throw out to you. Christian Ponder at San Francisco and Jake Locker, like you already said, Mike Shanahan's offense in Washington. I can see both those guys coming off the board in the second round. They're both from pro-style offenses. They've been under center. They're both mobile. They're both athletic. And they can both throw the football. I think those are two guys who will have a quicker maturation process than both Gabbert and Newton when it comes to the NFL.
I agree 100%. And if Locker ends up with Shanahan in Washington and Ponder ends up with Harbaugh, you know, they'll be thanking their lucky stars come draft day, because they're in the best situation possible to be successful in the NFL. When you evaluate Christian Ponder as a senior, Bowen, you look at a guy and you say, this is a mid-round pick. This is a late-round pick. He doesn't have the arm strength. He doesn't get the ball out of his hands. His eye level goes down too quickly. When you watch him as a junior, the guy was a first-round pick. So you're trying to figure out what happened with him. And it's just his inability to stay healthy. He hurt his shoulder late last year. And then early this year, hurt the elbow, hurt the forearm, all on his throwing arm, which really took away from his arm strength. Now, he's a gutsy, tough guy that tried to stay in, be that team leader, and still lead the offense. But physically, he was probably only 60, 70%. Now that he's finally healing up, he had a great game versus Florida at the end of the year. Was impressive at the Senior Bowl. We saw him down at Mobile, Alabama, and had a great workout at the Combine. His pro day's coming up. I believe it's this week sometime. So when he throws down at Florida State, I expect him to be even better. And he's one guy that I hear is picking up a lot of momentum that could sneak into that late first-round range. Now, you look at the teams at that back half. Not many of them need a quarterback. But if you're San Francisco, if you're Washington, and you need a quarterback, instead of waiting for Friday to roll around when you have to make that pick, why don't you just give up a later round pick, go up in the first round and grab the guy and go to, you know, have a good night's sleep on Thursday knowing you got your franchise quarterback, something I think could happen with potentially both these guys.
That's true. And another team to throw out late in the first round, in your latest mock, you have Ryan Mallett. I mean, yeah, Ryan Mallett going to Seattle. That's a team, too. We talk about Seattle and Pete Carroll, the West Coast system. What you get, what you have there is Matt Hasselbeck, who's going to be a free agent, is not one of Pete Carroll's guys. Charlie Whitehurst, that trade didn't really work out, okay? That's not going to happen. You start thinking maybe Seattle takes a first-round quarterback like you have in your mock, or again, in the second round. It's another team that Jake Locker can go to, a ponder. And if we get deeper into the draft, you start talking about the next year. Start talking about guys like Ricky Stanzi, probably mid-round picks. At the best, third-round, most likely fourth-round players. Another pro-style quarterback who can come into the discussion because he did play in that offense. He can take a pass drop. He understands footwork, technique, does have a little mobility and athleticism to his game. Not great, but someone that can slide away from pressure. But those type of quarterbacks, you and I have talked about it before, this so-called, quote-unquote, second-tier guys, they might end up having better pro careers. They really might. Obviously, that is complete speculation for me, Wes, but at this time, it's something you can throw out
there. Oh, absolutely. And I think that's one of the favorite things about evaluating the quarterbacks, Bowen, is when you look at a guy like Andy Dalton and Ricky Stanzi and Greg McElroy and Christian Ponder and Jake Locker and Colin Kaepernick, these are these gutsy four-year seniors that have seen the ups and downs. You know, they know what it's like to get kicked in the mouth, to fall off the horse, dust themselves off and get back up. You know, they've matured not only as quarterbacks, but as men. These guys are more prepared to go into a locker room and lead a team as opposed to a guy like Cam Newton and Ryan Mallett. And the one thing I get a lot of questions about is, you know, if you need a quarterback, why is Ryan Mallett going ahead of a guy like Christian Ponder? Why is he a better fit for this offense compared to a guy like Jake Locker? And I'll let you touch on this a bit. You know, we talk about why Jake Locker would be a good fit in Shanahan's offense. Mm-hmm. Can you explain why Ryan Mallett wouldn't be a good fit and what kind of offense Ryan Mallett would have to play in the NFL in order to be successful?
Ryan Mallett scares me to death, man. I'll be honest. He scares me to death. I wouldn't draft him. And it's nothing to do with his character. I'm talking about football player. The rumors that were out there, you know, during the combine, we were both in Indy. We saw that press conference. It was
a nightmare.
Yeah, it was a little nerve-wracking. I felt uncomfortable just being in the room with that thing. But here's the thing with Mal. What is he, 6'6", 6'7"?
6'7".
The guy's a tree. I mean, but he's a tree that's got big roots in the ground. He doesn't move. And that's the problem. That's the big problem is he's not going to give you that added dimension. Here's a great comparison. Aaron Rodgers is not looked at as a great athlete, okay? Neither is Jay Cutler. But I'll tell you what, when the pocket breaks down with those two guys, I watched them all season. They get out of trouble, either pick up the first down with their feet, they keep their eyes down the field. We're not talking about Michael Vick here. We're not talking about running the read option, any crap like that. We're talking about keeping plays alive the way it's supposed to be done on Sundays in the NFL, where you keep your eyes downfield, where you look to the second level of your route progression and make that big play. That's what you do with your feet. But with Mallett, if I'm Greg Williams, if I'm Rex Ryan, Dick LeBeau, Dom Capers, I can't wait to get to Sunday because I'm going to use what's called A and B gap pressure, which are the gaps right next to the center. We used to do it against Drew Bledsoe when he played for the Cowboys when I was playing for Greg in Washington. A and B gap pressure because these guys cannot move. They can't move off the spot. So you rush them up the middle of the field and you bury their asses. And that's the problem for me with Mallett. Can he throw the ball 80 yards? Yeah, he can. He's got a stronger arm than a lot of players. He would outthrow Mark Sanchez any day down the field. The problem is, does he have that added dimension, those intangibles he's looking for as a quarterback? Because all I see is a big, tall tree who can chuck the ball around.
Yeah, and there's three types of mobility when you're evaluating the quarterback. There's the Mike Vick mobility, who can create for himself. There's the Jeff Garcia, who can create, but he keeps his eye level up. And then there's that Tom Brady and Peyton Manning, that they're not great athletes, but it's those little subtle sidesteps in the pocket that buy them those milliseconds. And they still maintain balance, they keep their footing, they deliver an accurate football. When I watch Ryan Mallett, if you make this guy move his feet, His ball placement and accuracy suffers tremendously because of it. And you watch him versus Alabama, that big game where he had the lead. Right. You know, Nick Saban started pressuring him. And instead of moving his feet and maintaining balance, he's got that massive arm, so he's just going to use it. He's not going to move his feet. He's not going to stride toward his target. Causes the ball placement and accuracy to run amok. Gives up some interceptions late, where if he just maintains his balance and moves his feet, he'd be a much more accurate passer. So if you can get pressure on this guy, one, he can't move his feet, he's not willing to move his feet, that's when he really struggles. You can create some turnovers that way. Now, if you give him the opportunity to work off play action, throw the football down the field, he can be successful. But with the caliber of defenders in the NFL now, you know they're going to win matchups. They're going to come free. You have to be able to beat them with your hot reads, get the ball out of your hands quicker than before they come. It's just not something that with Ryan Mallett, everything's so lethargic about his game. And almost, I feel like with the tight windows in the NFL, he could get away with it more in college because of the bigger windows. Tight windows in the NFL, I just feel like the game's going to be too quick for him.
I completely agree with you. I'm very interested to see who takes a chance on this kid. I'm very interested. Is it a first round pick, second round? I honestly think he's going to slide out of the first round, but I also know that the NFL is enamored with arm strength. It's enamored with that pro arm that could throw the deep out, the deep comeback, hit the seven cut, and that tight window between the strong safety and the corner and cover two. That stuff's attractive. But at the same time, we're talking about how the NFL is progressing. I brought up the Super Bowl earlier. You have to be mobile. You have to be able to keep plays alive. It's becoming a passing offense. But to do that, you can't just have a tall tree that sits in the pocket. The guy worries me. He worries me to death. All right. If I'm a GM and I draft him, the minute I turn in that car, I start to worry. I start to panic a little bit that I made a mistake. So I'm going to take the best player on the board at that time, if he's still up there, and it's not going to be him. I'm just going to put it that way. I'm going to let him slide to someone else, let someone else take a chance. But, I mean, we'll see what happens at West. We'll see. One player I want to get to that is just laying in the weeds. Tell me more and tell our listeners more about Andy Dalton at TCU.
Well, Andy Dalton's a guy that he's a good enough athlete. He's got a good enough arm. He's been a consistent winner at TCU. He's got good ball placement. He anticipates routes well. He can create second lives. Honestly, Matt, he reminds me a little bit of Matt Flynn, the backup quarterback with the Packers right now. Maybe a little more physically gifted, but if you give this guy the opportunity and you put him in a proper offense where you can get the ball out of his hands quickly, he can create outside the pocket, you know, I think he could end up fighting for a starting job in the NFL down the line. He's a guy that's going to be overlooked because he doesn't have the physical capabilities of Cam Newton or Blaine Gabbert, but either did Trent Green. Either did Matt Hasselbeck. And in that third, fourth round range, I think he's a really intriguing prospect and someone that I think one of the few quarterbacks in this year's draft that has starting potential down the line if you bring him along slowly.
I mean, he's interesting. He's an interesting prospect. We got to see him down in Mobile at the senior, but we got to see all the senior quarterbacks. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's what we watch down there. And I'll tell you what, you go ask a guy like a Bill Parcells, he won't draft a quarterback unless it's a senior. He just won't do it. I mean, that's just how some GMs and some scouting departments think. They want leaders first. Also, they have the talent, but they want, like you said, the guys that have been through the ups and downs. I mean, you take a guy, and obviously this is going to sound biased. I'm an Iowa guy. You take a guy like Ricky Steens, he threw a bunch of picks his junior year.
That's a great example.
I mean, he threw a lot of interceptions. Had a rough year, but they still went and won the Orange Bowl. He played well in the bowl game, came back as a senior. Didn't have the same success as a team, but he made a lot of corrections to his game. He was in the film room a lot. He did a lot of things that don't go noticed by the general fan base, that aren't talked about in scouting reports all the time. He did the little things to get his game better and have a better senior season. And you start talking about a guy like Stanzi, I could see him as a fit in Kansas City. I could see him in a place like New England. Again, Ricky is not a guy you're going to bring in and hand him the ball with the first-team offense. Not going to happen. But you're going to hand him the ball with the second-team offense and say, okay, you're going to learn this year. Hey, if you get an opportunity, you might have to play as a rookie. You have to show me something. But we're counting on you eventually to be our guy. In a place like Kansas City or Matt Castle, tell you what, might be the most overpaid player in the league. Hey, looks like a fit to me. There's a lot of scenarios like that. That's why I like the quarterback position so much when it comes to the draft, because you have to build for the future. Yes, you have to do that at every position, but you're drafting guys a lot of times that you want to coach. You want to give them pro coaching, teach them your offense. And that especially works in winning programs like in New England, where you can develop those guys behind one of the best, or in Indianapolis behind one of the best, or New Orleans behind one of the best. You do that, that's how you develop talent. That's how you continue to win year after year as a franchise.
Yeah, and a lot of times with these quarterbacks, we talk about them not having the strongest of arms, like Ricky Stanzi, like Andy Dalton. Well, right now they have more than enough arm strength to make all the throws, but they're not a complete product. When you get Andy Dalton into a camp, you know, he's a guy that worked a lot of times from spread formations where he got away throwing flat-footed, just using his upper body. You know, they're going to tighten his footwork up. When you look at Ricky Stanzi, he's what, 6'4", 220? He's a guy that naturally can get up to 240. They're going to strengthen his wrist with a lot of those quarterback exercises. And that added girth, he's naturally going to become a better thrower of the football. And if you spin a clean football, which both these guys do, with a tight spiral, they're automatically going to be able to make more throws through the wind and through the gust than guys that have a little tail to the back end. So we can't absolutely, you know, are they ever going to have Blaine Gabbert or Cam Newton's arms? No, but they're going to have more than enough, much like Drew Brees. When you watch him at Purdue, there are a ton of questions about his arm. Now there's no questions at all because he has enough arm strength. He anticipates routes well. He gets the ball out on time. And that's what the strengths of a guy like Andy Dalton, Ricky Stanzi are.
Exactly. And one point that's never brought up, and this is just how it works in college football, you're also a student. You also go to class. You don't get much time to work on your game in college. You really don't. Not when it's compared to the NFL. You get about 21 hours a week with the coaches. You get spring ball. You get bowl practice. In the summer, yeah, you get to work, but you can't work with the coaches. You work with the strength coach. All right? You can work amongst yourself with teammates. You know, the strength coach will set up 7-on-7, but, you know, the head coach, the offense coordinator, they're not out there working with these kids. When you go to the NFL, that's your job. That's all you do. That's all you do is work on your game. And you're expected as a quarterback. Again, we can apply it to every position, but more so the quarterback. In your first 3 years to develop into a mature, veteran, professional athlete. That's your window. You get about 3 years. That's the average career. After 3 years, you can't play, you're gone. But that's the time when, like you're talking about, strengthening the arm, working on technique, footwork, work on the mental aspect of the game. This game is very hard to understand coverages in the NFL. You take Cam Newton right now and you throw on a tape from the Steelers, he's not going to know what the hell he's looking at. Mm-hmm. So it's hard to figure out. But again, it's something we get more down the road. One question before we close out here, Wes. Is Cam Newton, does he go in the top 10? As of this time, you know, tournament time in the NCAA, does he go in the top 10?
Absolutely. Like you said, 6'5", 250, runs 4.6, can make all the throws, gifted athlete. He's an easy sell to a GM.
I agree with you. I think he's a top 10 pick as well. As we move along, folks, we'll see where he eventually goes. But that's it for today. We're going to be rolling these out all the time, though. The next time we will be discussing defensive backs as Wes and I break down some of the top cornerback prospects coming out in this year's draft. We'll see you soon. Thanks.